This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast. It's Friday night, which can mean only one thing. It's time for the Chelsea Fancast preview show. And I am, of course, Stamford Chidge. And I'm delighted that proper football is back. And as ever, I'm joined by the efficacious Jonathan Kidd.
Efficacious? Oh, yes. Well, does that mean I'm going to provide a remedy for the
evening? Fucking well hope so, because I'm still feeling as sick as a dog, mate.
Oh, Chidge.
Yes, George. I am. I'm struggling through it all because I'm a trooper,
mate. I thought
we
did a bit better on In Off The Post. The first In Off The Post, we were both a bit turgid.
Oh, that was a week ago, mate, and we were death's door.
We had the energy of limp squirrels.
We had the energy of a Liz Truss, or should I say a damp lettuce. Yes. Anyway, how are you? Apart from, you know, still being at death's door, how are you? You're right.
No, okay, good. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'm doing a talk with Donald Sinden's father on Sunday. So
Do you mean his son, not his father?
Yeah, but about his father. Yeah,
oh, about his father. Okay.
Yeah, his father. With Mark Sinden about his father, Donald, who was one of the great English actors. We'll never see the like again, mainly because it was so over the top. That nobody will. Everybody has to be real and authentic now.
Nobody will overact quite like that anymore.
he was a terrific craftsman of his genre. But yeah, thanks. So I did Mr. Bean this week, which was great fun. I did 11 different characters for Mr. Bean. Fantastic fun.
You'd like to give us a quick, choice selection from them.
You get a security. I've got a cup of tea. Help! I got some cup of tea.
Sorry,
I've got a hot water bottle. Oh, sweet.
He's got a sop with wherever he goes. Have you noticed this, Clayton? Doesn't matter where he is.
Got my old man Chelsea blanket. Look at that!
Look at that! Spoiled rotten, you are.
Thank you.
It's my blanket.
Yeah, it's the girlfriend's blanket. And
Mrs. Sopwith. Then
you do a lot of. What they do is you give you a character to play a waiter, for example, and the waiter goes, "Who you are, sir?" That's all he says in the scene. But he has to go. What happens is he goes to do his shoelaces, and he goes, "Oh, you have to do everything." Oh, as he looks to his shoelaces. Oh, and he has to go because he's doing the shoelaces up. Then he looks and sees that somebody has stolen the plate that he's temporarily put down. He goes, So. Because it's kids, you have to do every single emotion is followed by a noise. So and even you walk off. So it's just great fun.
Any more characters?
Security guard, very very annoyed. No, it's a bit more like that. Security guard, very like that. No, can't do that. No, what? What are you doing? It's for children. He goes on a kids ride. It's for kids. And then he has to get it, and he goes in the ride, and of course gets stuck. Oh no! As you pull him out to the right, you know it's all of that.
Right, one more for luck.
Ah,
Another character, please. I'm like a kid here, aren't I?
Looks like it.
Come on, Dad, do another one.
Right, it's a little bloke. They're watching TV. It's here, turn it over. Oi, stop. Oi, what are you doing? We're watching that. We like that. Oi, stop it. Oi, you, stop it. Oi, oi, come here. Oi, what's the matter with you? That was really good fun, that. I really like that chicken. Oi, what's going on? Look at that. We were impersonating him.
You just have to, you know, whatever. You know, you
brilliant,
go on.
Brilliant. There you go. I could do this all night, but maybe one week we'll do this as sort of a fan cast. But we have guests, or a guest. He's kind of already semi-announced himself, but let's delude ourselves with the suspense, shall we, JK?
Everybody at home, do you remember this? It is, of course, Mr. Clayton Bierman, the housewife's choice.
Good evening. How are we?
Well, we're both death's door, but how are you looking? Rude health, mate. It's good to see. It's lovely to see you. We missed you the other week.
Too long, mate. Too long.
Well, you. I don't know. Why did you? What did you book in a gig that you forgot about or something?
The last time I had to bail, I can't actually remember. Oh no, it was a surprise visit from my mother-in-law.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And unlike most mother-in-laws, mine's very nice. So. But that's irrelevant. I was banned from
no, understandably
disappearing at 7:30 on a Friday night.
No, we understand.
So here I am.
No, it's lovely to see you.
Mother-in-law less.
Lovely to see you, old bean.
Indeed.
Always lovely to see you. I've been waving at you rather plaintively every game that I've been at, and you've been just ignoring me, Clayton. You've not even looked over. I feel scorned.
Well,
I feel
like the hint, because here I am.
Well, no, clearly. Touché. brilliant. It's, you can already tell the direction that this show is going to take this evening, so without further ado,
yes. No, we must come on.
Yeah, we will. I mean, we're gonna have a bit of talk about the press, a bit of Chelsea news in part one. I'm afraid there's no opposition view this week, mainly because I've been freaking ill all week, and I just haven't had the time to go and find a random Geordie. So, and I don't have really any what I would call Geordie friends that could bail me out. So, we'll try and get one on for the return fixture, I promise. But part two will therefore just be our preview of Newcastle United versus Chelsea. So before we get to that, part one, of course, JK, presser. Any excitement from the presser?
It was really interesting.
Yes.
The
no,
presser,
yes,
no, I no, thought, no, was no, really no. interesting. You thought it was a bit dull?
No, not really. I mean, it was a bit more interesting than usual, yeah.
Well, I thought it was because there was one. The one problem with it was they kept about three BD journalists asked him about Nkunku, and it kept going on about Nkunku, where he would play, was he fit? Whereas at the very beginning, he'd said, no, he's not even on the bench, he's not ready. All he's been doing is training with us. So that was a very strange thing to pursue, the journalists, almost as if they'd been told that he was going to be on the bench. Well, he's not. He's not ready. He's not fit in the same way that Lavia isn't fit. He said he's ahead of Lavia, as you'd expect, because Lavia got injured much later. But he's not ready to be in the bench. But it's nice that he's training, because they were all asking, where was he going to be playing? What position? Now that the team was settled, where would he fit in? Would he disrupt it to play him? And these are all ridiculous questions, given that we're so far away from him actually starting. And when he comes on, he'll bring him on for 10 minutes, in which case he may change the formation accordingly. But there was even an article in The Athletic about how if he does come in, he may be able to revert to the 4-2-3-1, playing with Jackson, putting him on, somehow moving Sterling into a different position. It was quite clever that the way they were working out, but and what they were saying essentially was that because he's not been fit, the team has evolved without him. But I, from what I got from the press conference, I don't think they're going to buy anybody, actually, in the window. I think they're going to wait for him to see how he. Well, we'll find out later in January. But I think at the moment, the feeling I got from the presser was that Nkunku is the man, because he was the leading scorer in the Bundesliga last year, and that they will use him somehow. Either he likes to come in from the left, which means that you'd have to move Sterling somewhere. But I'm not even going to consider that at the moment, because he's still not fit. But the gist of the presser as well, There were some other. I made a couple of notes, actually. Forgive me if I.
I'm amazed, let alone impressed. Well done.
No, one of the reasons I actually thought it was the best presser that he's given.
Wow.
That's why I'm saying this.
Okay.
Because he even one of the questions, he really enjoyed answering it and thanked the journalist towards the end. He nodded and went, thank you, because he felt it was a proper question. And I think he got pissed off with something. He had a very different set of people asking questions.
Well, there was no moose this week, which, of course, immediately ups the intelligence quotient, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I wonder whether they've been screening in some way. Simon Johnson asked the last one, but the question he loved was, how do you keep coal grounded? The chap asked him, considering that he's made so much progress, which he has been completely. What has he had? 8 starts. Completely brilliant. Coal has been evolved brilliantly from coming on as a sub. And he actually said, you know, yes, good. We pushed them out of their comfort zone. It was lovely, a lovely insight into what they do in training. We push him every day, he says, and all we have to be tough to try to improve them. We do this with all of them, he said. But he said, particularly, we were talking about this. You have read my mind, he said to this man. And he then thanked the guy at the end. He answered a question about Lewis Hall, which he said was the best decision for both sides because he'll have a good future. But if you look, Lewis Hall has hardly played for United and they've got 13 injuries, as we will discover when we talk about it. So he should have been playing. But Livramento, he started. Livramento has hardly started, been getting more minutes because he's old and been playing a bit better. But he asked about, sorry, Clayton, if I'm going on, I'll just finish this right, bit about right. this. And Kunku's still not recovered. Fofana has now joined in. He's running as well. They're trying to keep the shame. There was a break, trying to keep the momentum, worried about the emotion of St. James because it's such a cauldron. But somebody asked him whether or not he'd actually been contacted for the Geordie job. And he said nobody ever, because he was a front runner. And it goes to show you the ridiculousness of when, you know, somebody is linked with a job. And apparently he was linked, you know, at 5-1 with the job or something. And the reality was, he said, I had no contact at all for the Geordie job. But also intelligent questions from the very first guy. You could see he was onto it, Poch. And he actually started expressing himself better. Very intriguing setup. He actually admitted that they spend time together on and off the pitch. And he finds that very important, which I didn't know as much, that they spend time off the pitch together, and he thinks so it's creating a really friendly environment with the players bonding hugely. And he then had a very good thing to say about they clearly struggle against teams with less quality, using the expression less quality. And he said it's part of the process because they're young men who need to mature and we have to be patient. And he said the problem is being Chelsea, great expectations for Chelsea creates nerves when you play a team with less quality. And I'm quoting him. And it's why he was talking so well. You get frustrated. And he said, it's more important is our balance, was the word he used. It wasn't quite the right word. Be consistent in the way we think about these things, because we do very well. We're doing very well against the top teams. The lesser teams, we panic. We give the ball away. We try and do too many difficult things. He said it's different now because the perception is different because we're winning. But Newcastle will be a strong, tough fight because they're a very competitive side. He absolutely loves Ernie Howe, one of the best coaches in England. Newcastle were bottom. He blew huge smoke up his arse. He said he's one of the best talents in England and Europe. So really intriguing. But it was a very, very positive press conference, which I think goes with the fact that we've had two, even though there was the break, which he hopes for the momentum to carry on. It was a very positive, upbeat press conference, the best press conference of the season and that he's given. Fantastic.
Okay. Well, there you go. Praise indeed from JK. I think it also has something to do with the fact that Moose wasn't there to ask stupid questions. Asinine would be a word invented for Moose, I believe. Clayton, let's pick out a couple of those things. Thank you, JK. I like this. This is, from now on, I deem it, in my Royal Wave sort of way, I deem this an official Chelsea Fancast feature. Okay, we open up Friday night shows with JK giving us the lowdown from the presser. I love this, not least because it means I don't have to watch it. But as if I ever do.
But I feel because of my looking so forensically at Potter last year, I feel I'm allowed to look at these.
I think it's good. No, it's a really good summary. Clayton, picking up from a couple of those things, I mean, you know, they did, I did actually watch it, and they did ask a lot about Nkunku. And I don't know how you feel about it. I'm very pleased that he's being very level-headed about this because, you know, we're all old gits. We've been around the block. This kid is not going to start his first game in, I don't know, let's say 2 or 3 weeks' time and hit the ground running because he is not going to be match fit. And as Poch said, actually, he's going to have to get used. He's going to have to acclimate to the Premier League. I think it's really encouraging that our manager is being really sensible about this and hopefully lowering those expectations a bit.
Yeah, I think the thing is that we, like most Premier League clubs and probably most clubs, are driven by analytics and the medical staff, and they won't let him. They won't let him. I mean, you can see what they're doing with Reece James. He's not playing full 90 minutes. And they're just being very, very careful with anybody that comes back from an injury. The problem with Nkunku is he's our saviour. Well, you know, he came from the same league that Timo Werner. He came from the same team as Timo Werner. He did the same things as Timo Werner. I'm being flippant because I you know, there are, and I've heard Julien Laurent, who I think knows more about French football than quite a lot of us, say that he's the best player since Mbappe in terms of skill and forward play. So I think he is a very good player. But like most players, and the thread includes Ivan Toney, all these players have become brilliant by not actually being anywhere near a football pitch. So, yes, I think that Poch is great to manage expectations. The thing that hacks me off about these press conferences, well, there's two things, actually. One, the way the room is set up, you can't actually hear what question is being asked, which is just absolutely farcical.
Club can't afford a mic for the journos.
Well, the second thing is that you don't actually get any information because, I mean, I watched it and I don't know if I missed it, but did anybody actually ask him who's injured and who's not available for tomorrow?
Nope.
No. Well, what's, you know, that's what I want to know, and and that's what the fans want to know. Yeah. So I'm going slightly off piece, but yeah, I mean, he is good in press conferences because he actually takes the trouble to listen to what's being asked and answer it. And as JK said, questions today were intelligent, apart from the third person to ask him about Nkunku. And there was somebody else who basically asked him a question. He said, "You asked me this months ago." He just called him out and he went, "No, you asked me this months ago." And it's still no. Yeah, I mean, he's a good lad and appears to be a good lad, and he seems to be what you see is what you get, and he's sort of very much, he's not quite as spiky as Thomas Tuchel, but Thomas Tuchel, again, I think what you saw was the man.
Well, I'd add to that, actually, and compare it to our previous manager, which is that this is a man who is comfortable in his own skin and in the job that he's doing. I mean, and that's what you get from an experienced manager, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably right. But I mean, Potter was an experienced manager.
Not at this level.
No, but he was still an experienced manager. You know, you get asked a question. The question's a question. He wasn't experienced at this level in terms of football. And that's what found
and dealing with the media scrutiny, I would suggest as well.
Well, yes, I think that just became too much for him. I mean, it's not like he didn't have exactly the same journalists in exactly the same press conferences asking him exactly the same questions. So, yeah, I mean, I think the best thing to do is just sweep him under the carpet and let's not talk.
I agree. Let's draw a line.
Can I draw a line as well and say, I kept saying at the beginning that it worried me that he was so incompetent at the press conferences. And I remember having discussions where we said it doesn't matter what he says at the press conference, what he does on the pitch. But I actually felt that what we got was an unprepared, uninterested, unskilled individual, and I'm afraid that was reflected in the team's performances. So I actually think it is important what you get at a
Yeah, do you know what, JK? I mean, you're right. It's easy for us to hide behind the... Actually, come on, boys, it only matters what happens on the pitch. But actually, I think you're right. If you look back through, managers past, the most successful ones have been the most adept at the presses. I think Poch is good. I think Tuchel was exceptional. Ancelotti was great. Mourinho was obviously great. Benitez was a buffoon, as we know, and he was just nasty, I think. AVB looked like an idiot. Potter looked out of his depth. I'm being persuaded by your point that actually, do you know what? Maybe they are more important. I mean, we've always said that in spite of the inanity inane questions that are asked and therefore the inane answers that are given, it's the only chance we get as supporters to hear from the manager. And he needs to remember that because he's speaking to us and we want them to speak in a certain way. And that's what did for Potter, I think, because there was no kind of understanding by him that this is Chelsea Football Club and we expect a certain kind of thing coming out of the manager's mouth.
I also felt he was so obviously so dreadful at it, he should have improved. And the fact that he didn't improve just spoke volumes to me, that he wasn't really making the effort. It wasn't important to him. And the fact he didn't get that similarly gave me a feeling that his mindset was wrong for the job.
Interesting.
There is more than a grain of truth in this because basically there's been circumstances, not necessarily with Chelsea managers, but with other managers. And, you listen to some managers and you think, yeah, I'd run through a wall for you.
Yeah.
And then you'd listen to other managers and you think you couldn't inspire me to open a packet of crisps. Yeah. And I just basically think...
Even if it was given to you by Bruce Buck.
Even if it was given to you by Bruce Buck. that would have been nachos, not crisps.
Not Walkers.
but that's exactly right. You listen to these people and you think you couldn't inspire anything. Mm. You're just not what I want to be, I want to be listening to. So yeah, I think there is an element of truth in that, definitely.
Indeed there is. Now, this time last week, I think it was this time last week, or it might have even been actually on... Did we do a show on Monday, JK, or was it Tuesday?
We did Tuesday.
I think it was Tuesday, wasn't it? I mean, I'm so completely fucked that I can't...
Yeah, because I was a bit poorly on the Monday.
I know. I mean, I can't even remember. It's, it's kind of like that, isn't it? There was kind of some breaking news that's caused a bit of a meltdown in the Chelsea flan base. And that, of course, is that Everton have just been sanctioned by the Premier League for falling foul of the FFP and as a consequence have been deducted 10 points. They already have been deducted those 10 points and they're now second from bottom as a consequence. And, of course, I mean, I think half of this in the media was, it's quite horrible, actually, how wanky football and football... social media is, so everybody, even the journalists were doing this. Everybody's now pointing the finger at Chelsea and Man City, who apparently have got 115 infractions. And Chelsea, of course, as we know, discovered some improper payments and things like that under the Abramovich regime, which the club have brought to the Premier League's attention, not kind of fessing up. But I think it all came as a result of their very stringent due diligence. So everybody's now pointing the finger at us and saying, well, if Everton got 10 points, then City and Chelsea will have to be relegated. I mean, is this a case of nothing to see here at the moment, JK?
I discussed it with a solicitor friend, but I'm sure Clayton would be.
You have one here. You have a solicitor friend here.
Indeed, as I said, Clayton will know. So, I don't think it matters that we've warned them and given them 100 million. Perhaps you'll correct me, because it was 100 million.
No, they gave them something. That was for something else. This is for something different. But they have actually...
I,
No, no, no. They've got a hundred. No, they've got 100 million that they set aside from their bidding price to cover. Because
this. Yeah,
I think it's because they found in their due diligence that there are a lot.
Yes, indeed.
So I think they paid them 10 million so far.
Yeah, so far they have. Yeah, so they're aware of it. It's just a question of whether the. I think it's seen to influence. Considered that it's influenced results, isn't it? The particular purchases, which no doubt it will be pored over forensically by lots of the legal minds of Britain, the keenest legal minds in the world. I see that Murray Rosen KC is running the Everton investigation, and he was a right winger in my school team. So,
what kind of a right winger are we talking about here?
He was a right winger who would kick the ball past.
Oh, that kind of a right winger.
Sean Wright Phillips like and run after it. And,
just checking.
Kick it at the goalie. But my young daughter is coming in here to say goodnight.
Night night.
Night night.
Good night, my darling. Lovely to see you.
She's so cute. So...
Thank you. Yeah. Bye, babe. Love you too.
his brain's gone to fudge now. It's wonderful to see. Who are you?
Yeah.
Bang him on the head and tell him he's Pele.
I don't know who I am, but here she comes, going to hit me on the head to tell me I'm Pele. Tell me I'm Pele. Yeah. You hear that? Night chin, she said.
Yeah, I know. She's right, of course. Oh, there we go. Wallop on the head. Murray Rosen, who is was a right winger at your school, right?
Yes, he's running the Everton investigation, apparently. But he... I fear that, as I said, I fear that if it's stuff that influences title winning, I don't know what the payments were. I think they were extra payments to players. But once again, this is an area I have no knowledge of. And if it influenced a player coming in, how do they then deduce whether the season was improved by that player and then enhanced their abilities to win a title? Because there's been conversation, hasn't there, about titles being forfeited. I don't quite know how they're going to do that. So whether that has any credibility or even works at all, or anybody cares, because we've been through all the joy of winning the trophy. But I'll be intrigued to see. I think it may run, and I don't know how long these things, how they come to a quick conclusion, given that there will be this barrage of counterclaims from the clubs. So.
It's interesting, isn't it? Should we ask our solicitor friend?
I
think we're getting very quickly. We're digging a massive hole and getting kind of to Potter-esque levels of out of our depth.
Okay, so all I'll say on the subject is the fact that that we fessed up in terms of due diligence. Am I not right in saying that there's been a leak at some Maltese firm who have let about, was it 5 million pages worth of stuff leak out? And I think The Guardian picked it up, and some poor bugger in a room actually just sat there doing a word search, probably for Roman Abramovich or whatever. Can I recommend that if you have time, and this is to you guys and anybody listening, that you download an episode of The Game, which is the Times podcast, and it's called Crime and Punishment. And it's basically their normal gang of people. But they've got Jonathan Norcroft, Tony Cascarino, and Martin Samuel. And it is absolutely brilliant. It is fascinating. It's on this. It's on the Everton situation. It's on us and Manchester City. It doesn't delve into specifics. But the thing that comes out of it, which is absolutely brilliant, which is basically from Martin Samuel, is the fact that this is all bollocks. FFP was brought in by the richer clubs to basically protect their position at the top of the tree. And the whole thing about financial irregularities is not so much people going out and doing things under the table. It was supposed to protect clubs from going out of business. And it's all now got lost in the ether. And what they're basically saying is, you know, Everton, easy target. A, quote, smaller club who tried to do something better. And you've got all these, they give a lot of examples of, and I'm using words smaller, not in a derogatory way, but smaller clubs who have tried their best to build something, use money to build something, and have ended up, you know, and they sort of talk about Portsmouth, you talk about Leicester and what's happened to them. And what they're saying is that, yes, okay, you don't want people going out and spending gazillions and making it an unfair playing field. But then they make the point, well, if a side is owned by a sovereign state, then what can you do? You can't, you know, you can't do anything. But the fact that, you know, one team is owned by a local businessman and one's owned by, you know, a sovereign state.
Take your money.
And the other point they're making is you can only put 11 players on the field. Okay, the substitutions. But I highly recommend, because it's actually a really, really good listen. And it just basically says what a nonsense all of this is. And the fact that we are now spiraling into a ridiculous situation because of the Everton situation.
Like Spurs as well. Yeah.
X number of clubs suing Everton because they got relegated.
Yeah.
And Everton didn't. And it is just, it's really interesting. And so the point is that you don't know what the time period is for Man City. And some of their charges go back to 2009. You don't know what the time period, we haven't even been investigated yet.
No.
So it will inevitably happen. But I just think it's just going to continue and continue. They said this is the VAR of football clubs now.
Yeah.
You know, how far are you going to go back?
Exactly.
What are the consequences? If you take our title away, are you going to lose the enjoyment that you had at Bolton?
Nope. No.
You know?
Well, I think it's worse than that potentially, mate, because I think number one, I think actually what's going on is the Premier League are basically trying to flex their muscles to prove to the government they don't need an independent regulator. I mean, I know the Tories actually committed to that in the King's Speech, didn't they? Whether they'll be here long enough to enforce that, who knows? But I think that's what the Premier League are up to. And I have to say, if they come after City and us, and let's say worst case scenario it, and they decide to relegate us both, you can wave goodbye to the Premier League, because City and Chelsea will just say, well, fuck you. Here comes the European Super League if they do that. You know, because that you know, Bowley and co aren't going to sit there and say, oh, you know, it'll be jolly good fun going to Rotherham away on a Saturday afternoon. They'll say, well, no, fuck you. We'll just form the European Super League then. Basically, the top six clubs are the Premier League's bread and butter. They are why they make billions every year or every TV deal. Then I cannot see in any world that they are going to enforce something like a relegation on City or Chelsea, because of the jeopardy that they would put the entire league in if they do.
Well, it just goes straight to the courts.
Well, they'll be tied up for years, won't they, in legal
courts and what have you. And I can assure you that the people in the Championship don't want Chelsea and City going down there, because basically, effectively, means there'll just be one place for promotion. Yeah. So they don't want that either. You know, it's like when you got shit refs like Anthony Taylor, who basically are crap, and what's their punishment? They get sent down to the Championship, and the Championship says, well, we don't want your shit refs. Why should we be dumped on?
Well, they might not even let City and Chelsea in, because remember, it's a different league. It's not governed by the Premier League. They have their own governance, and they could say, fuck you, we don't want them. And then where are they going to play? European Super League. That's the end game in this, I think. Discuss.
No, you're right.
I'm wondering whether they would think, you know, it'd make wonderful telly if they were relegated or there was a terrible sanction put upon them. You know, you'd follow them around. Would it mean, or would somebody invest in the Championship to see how it worked out? You know, whether they got wonderful viewing figures for that. Whether somebody stirs the pot in a way that makes it really attractive.
It's just never going to happen.
No, it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen.
It would go to court and it would drag on and on and on, and it would do no favours to anybody. Mm.
Well, interesting stuff. Watch this space. I think this will run and run and run, as they say, for possibly years. It's going to be fascinating to see how the Premier League try and screw up the golden goose. We were talking about Chelsea possibly not being able to afford a microphone for the journalists to ask questions at the presser. Well, I was anyway. I can guarantee you that this would never happen at a Chelsea Fancast Presents live at the Troubadour gig. Am I right, JK?
Oh, never ever happened there.
No. Nope. We have a microphone and we have Dan Silver, who is quite often Mickey Microphone, who passes the
microphones as well. We've got there are four microphones, in fact.
Exactly. Now, if you don't believe us, you can come and find out for yourself, because we have our next Chelsea Fancast Presents live at the Troubadour on December the 3rd, Sunday, December the 3rd. It'll be after the Brighton game. The doors at the Troubadour will open at 4:30, so you should have enough time to get from the game. We'll probably kick off about 5 o'clock in all reality, but you've got plenty of time to get there. And it is with two, not just one guest, we have two, and we have arguably the greatest strike partnership this club has ever seen, and it is Kerry Dixon and David Speedy. How about them apples? Obviously, they'll be talking about the Brighton game, but mainly we'll just throw it open to the floor and you can ask as many questions as you jolly well like. Now, the tickets, as always, are £20 and you can get them at ticketweb.uk. But hurry up, as Mr. CFC UK might say himself. I mean, seriously, hurry up. They're nearly all gone. There's literally a handful of tickets left. It's limited numbers at the Troubadour because it's a limited capacity. So, you know, if you want to come along, you better hurry up, because I reckon it'll sell out probably, well, it'll sell out before the event. I'm pretty sure of that. So, you know, get on it. If you want the link to Ticketweb, I've got it posted, pinned on the Chelsea Fancast Twitter page. It's also on our Facebook groups and our Instagram groups and all of that jazz. So, but if you go to ticketweb.uk and just pump in Chelsea Fancast, you will find it, I'm sure. But Kerry Dixon, David Speedy, it's going to be a corker, isn't it, JK?
Yeah. Well, Mickey Thomas was wonderful. And this strikes me as being intriguing. Well, they all are. Every single one has been great. The fact that all of these guys can talk so vividly and loquaciously about their time at Chelsea makes the evenings just superb. And Kerry's already been on his own, and Kerry is a very accomplished speaker and about his career, and very amusing and forthright, as they've all been.
Yeah.
And it'll just be a great evening. As you say, there are very few tickets left. It's really caught on. Yeah. I think it's work, because we're doing it at the end, in the middle of a game, is at the after a game as well, so it'll be, there are more people keen to come down, because it's difficult when you do it on a Sunday without a match, but nonetheless.
Well, that's the plan going forward. We're going to do on a match day.
Absolutely. But no, it's going to be great. And they were a wonderful partnership. We were discussing during the week whether they were, in fact, the best partnership. I put forward Hasselbaink and Goodjohnson, but they didn't play as often together. And then I rather revealed my love of them both by going deeply into their ability to refer to each other on the pitch and help each other out, because they were joyous to look at, and what a great player Speedy was. I think personality wise he complimented Kerry with his aggression and his feistiness and his competitive spirit. They're a great couple, and they already at the under the bridge night for the 83-84 side both revealed how well they get on and how well they spar with each other, and and how well Speedo spoke, and as we know, how well Kerry speaks. So it's going to be a really good evening.
It will. Clayton, you coming along, mate?
I hope to, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Enough said about that, the better. We're going to go for a quick break, and then we'll be back for part two. When you follow a big team like Chelsea, one of the most frustrating things is not being able to get a ticket for the match, especially when it's away and not live on TV in the UK. What can you do? Get updates from your mates, follow online commentary, listen to the radio. Let's face it, it's not the same as actually watching the match live, is it? NordVPN have the solution to every football supporter's match day problems when they can't watch the match live. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
It's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast, the Friday night preview show with me, Stamford Chidge. And I have, of course, as always, the hinge to my bracket, the wise to my Morecambe, Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
The ball to your cannon.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed.
Chuckle to my brothers.
Hey, lovely to be on the show. Thank you.
And, of course, we've got a lovely guest, one of our favourites, haven't we?
We have. It's Mr. Clayton Bibb and Housewife's Choice.
All right.
Lovely to be here.
Bah. Lovely to see you, mate. Always is. Right. Now, of course, it's part two. No opposition view this week. Sorry about that. It's just down to me being ill and not being bothered. I'm not having any Geordie friends. That's probably the easiest way to put it. Hopefully next week. Who have we got next week? Is it Brighton? Oh, I'm away next week, aren't I? So it'll be up to Dean. I'll pass him a Brighton contact. There's bound to be some spiky Brighton fan who hates Chelsea to embarrass themselves on the show next week. Anyway, as we all know, we start with, in part two, our preview of the game with Chidge's team selection, don't we, JK? He's excited, you see. This is not fake. He really is that excited. The team selection for Chidge. Well, here's the thing, JK and Clayton. I cannot see any reason to change the team one iota. So I have gone for what we started with against City, which, of course, is Sanchez, Cucurella, Silva, De Zarzi, James, Caicedo, Fernandes,
Moises,
Fernandes and Gallagher, Sterling, Palmer and Jackson. I do not see any point in changing that whatsoever, apart from one teeny-weeny thing. And I do wonder, and I'm sure both of you will comment on this, but I do wonder about two things. First of all, Enzo and Moises have, of course, been halfway around the world. I'm wondering how they got back yesterday, I think, and I'm wondering how knackered they might be. So they might have travel fatigue. And Enzo's form of late has not been huge because I think he is a bit knackered and he's been kicked all over the place. So that also intrigues me. But there we go. Other than that, that's what I would pick, JK.
Yes, I agree with you completely. He actually mentioned it rather cagily at the beginning of the press conference. First thing he mentioned, I think, whether we came in too late to it, but he said they'd only just got back, and he specifically mentioned them. Did Silva not go out to play? Does he not play for Brazil?
No, he's no longer playing for Brazil.
No longer playing for Brazil. I think by the hinted way he said it, I'm not convinced either of them will start, which I think will completely imbalance the side because they're doing so well as a threesome. But as you say, Fernandes in the City game was absolutely shattered after about 25 minutes and was blowing out of his backside from for the last 10 minutes of that, you could tell. But he also, as I explained to you before, is that because I've been just taking little snaps of them, following him around, he is really a... He's more combative and competitive than you would think, Fernandes. He really gets stuck in. What you're seeing is a huge amount of effort. And if he's not 100% fit or he's a bit knackered, it's not surprising. And they've got those little things on their backs that tell them how much you've overdone it. And they whisk you off because he didn't last very long in the City game, did he? But he did it. He put in a shift. I mean, I'm he's got a lot of criticism on X at the moment for not being good enough. in comparison with the others. And Gallagher seems to have, rightly so, been praised for his fantastic efforts in the last few games, because he's been fantastic, been brilliant. Whereas they're now having a go at Fernandes as being nowhere nearer, a huge 105 million, whatever it was.
Best ignored, mate.
And yeah, oh no, of course, best ignored. But nonetheless, there's that element of it, because there's a difference, you know. It's like Ivanovic, Ivanovic, Kovacic gave up last year after he came back from the World Cup and didn't run around, but looked extremely exhausted, but still didn't run around anyway, even though he looked exhausted. Whereas Fernandes just looks really tired after he's been putting in his efforts. But he does, he runs box to box, bloody hell, defence running right up the other end, really making a huge effort. I mean, hats off to him. Is he supposed to get fitter and fitter, or is he only a 70-minute player? I don't know. And James, interesting, he got a mention saying that he was getting fitter and fitter in the presser, and they were very pleased with him. So let's, you know, not put the kibosh on it and hex it by...
Not bad for the second best James in the family.
Hey, not bad, absolutely. Yeah, I went last night, by the way, and Kerr, what's her name? Sam Kerr scored the third goal. Was absolutely fantastic. I mean, off balance, falling over, still managed to get the foot to the ball to lob it over the goalkeeper. It was exceptional.
Yeah, they are seriously skillful, that side, aren't they?
Oh,
I watched the Liverpool game live, and I couldn't believe. I mean, Lauren James,
Lauren James, a class above,
absolutely world class,
so silky, absolutely brilliant. But this, there was a huge kind of from everybody there when she got the ball in, because you thought, you know, she's not going to get anywhere near this. She was being challenged by two girls and pushed her off balance. She just got a foot under it at the last second, sailed beautifully over the goalkeeper. Ah, wonderful,
brilliant.
He'll obviously keep playing, because he added something to the side the other day with that, which we know he will every time, because he's a class act as well. And De Zazi is such a man mountain. My goodness me. And I don't think that Colwell gets in at the moment if Cucurella is playing as well as that. And I wonder whether how they'll set it up when Chilwell gets fit. It'll be some way off, of course, because he's got a dodgy hammy. Sterling's playing out of his skin with lovely mazy dribbles that he did when he first was at Liverpool, which we're seeing back for the first time. And Jackson, despite being nowhere near the player that we saw in pre-season, and looks a little bit incapable of really working out what he's supposed to be doing, has scored five goals, isn't it? And the number of times we've discussed failing strikers who just don't score, even Torres and Kesman, and Morata did at the beginning and then got worse and worse. But at least Jackson's scoring, which is an enigma, to say the least. The wonderful Palmer, who's playing out of his skin. What a signing that is. And I love the fact that he's become a favourite in such a small amount of time. Because we love a favourite at the Bridge, don't we? We love somebody to get us out of our seats, and he's been doing it. He has a really terrific burst of speed, Palmer, as well, and an eagerness to get the ball, and a cockiness that I love, that is a bit City like isn't it? You can tell that he's been sculpted by playing for City, because there's a kind of, let's look out for what options I've got, and the huge amount of time on the ball he has, which is the sign of a really terrific player.
Indeed.
So, but I fear, I don't know who's going to come in if neither Casido or Fernandes.
Oh, Okachunga, whatever his name is. Les.
Les. Okay, yeah. And possibly, who will be the other one? Who's the other midfielder, Chidge? Who's the defender? The defensive one. Not Okachunga. Who's not Les. Who's the other one?
You lost me.
Yeah, the other midfield.
There isn't another one.
Isn't there another one?
This is a point I was going to make. I mean, if those two aren't playing, who comes in?
Well, you probably have to change the formation, Or you put Cucurella in there, I suppose, which I'd rather not. But
exactly,
you know, I could see you doing it. I mean, Clayton, are you, I mean, are you in broad agreement with not changing a, you know, I mean, that was the. Do you know what? Funnily enough, I talked to Kerry today, and he informed me that we hadn't discussed the City match, much to his annoyance. He was saying, and I mean, I agreed that that was, you know, the best performance I've seen Chelsea put in for years. You know, arguably going back to the Juve game. Or possibly the Real Madrid game, but it was really, really good. So surely you wouldn't change that team, presuming everybody was fit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just looking at the side now. No, I don't. There is no reason to change it. I do understand the thing about Fernandes. Fernandes is a wonderful, wonderful footballer, but I'm just. Wondering whether he's going to be a wonderful footballer for us. I mean, he's been here a year. I don't think this season he's got... he certainly hasn't scored a Premier League goal. I don't think he's got an assist. And I think it's not his fault what we pay, but I think for that sort of money, we do need to... We should expect slightly more.
It's true.
So... I don't think that, well, criticism doesn't help, says somebody who's just criticising. I'm just observing. I think he's a fabulous player. I don't know what's missing, whether there's somebody, a different sort of player he should be playing next to. But obviously we've got somebody like Gallagher who's actually working his nuts off. And then you've got Caicedo, who seems to be nicely developing into his role. So hopefully, if the side progresses, they're doing, things will start to click. But no, I don't think that there's any point in changing the side. I mean, Sterling made me eat humble pie because I've been whining and bitching about the fact that he only seems to do it against relegated teams. And he then basically ripped the best right back in the country.
Yeah.
Made him look foolish. Looked absolutely phenomenal against Manchester City. And it's, you know, it in some respects, it's slightly frustrating because you know he's got that talent and he doesn't do it enough. But he looked brilliant. He looked absolutely brilliant. He looked unplayable. And the thing with Jackson, I think Jackson has... He's not been around for ages, but I think he's a streaky player in terms of he'll score goals in clumps and then he won't. And I think that's something that we have to accept. And because he is our only fit alternative, I don't know how fit Amando is. And I don't know whether... I don't think he went off on international duty. So, yeah, I mean, don't change that side. I mean, as we say, we've only got Leslie to come in. Unless I want to give a debut to, was it Matto, the kid that we brought from Norwich, who looks very impressive every time he comes on. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that Poch will try and keep it as consistent as possible.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I think the only thing about Enzo, I it's intriguing to hear what you say, but I think if there is an issue with Enzo, I think he's knackered, mate. I mean, he's pretty much played every game since we signed him. And I mean, last year was tough, as we all know. That takes it out of you just mentally, let alone physically. So I worry about an element of fatigue there. I mean, look, the bottom line is tomorrow's match is intriguing, I think, for many reasons. And I think it's also a massive fixture for many reasons. Not least because we are only 3 points behind Newcastle and they're in seventh. We're in 10th still, obviously. It would be lovely to, of course, put them... What? Hang on, Stewart's inquiry here.
We're 4 points behind them, not three.
I have the league table here, so I will just do a Stewart's inquiry. We are on 10th on 16 points and you're right, Clayton. You see, Clayton officially knows more than Flash Score, who I nick most of my information from for the preview show, and I shall just prove this to prove that I'm not completely fucking mad. Where did they say it? I know they said it somewhere. You know what? I can't be asked to find out. Just accept that Clayton's right and be done with it. Yeah, okay. We're 4 points behind them. They're in seventh. We're in tenth. It'd be good to, A, put them back in their place. I don't really like Newcastle very much, I have to say. And it's interesting that they have slipped down to seventh and they're not challenging for the league with their Saudi Arabian money. But the other thing, of course, is that, you know, I think winning against them on Saturday would put us, you know, back in the race for European football, which, of course, we really do need to get. I think the other thing that intrigues me, of course, is that we're playing against a decent side, not a low blocker who will come out at us, which, you know, Poch mentioned it in the presser. We do better against rather than teams of poor quality. They're certainly not a team of poor quality. Having said that, as JK was alluding to in part one, they are really, absolutely being hit hard by injuries. Anderson, Harvey Barnes, Botman, Dan Byrne, Manquillo, Murphy, Target and Wilson, JK's favourite player, are all definitely out. And Almiron, Isaac, Longstaff and Shah are doubts. Tonali, of course, is suspended for betting on his side to lose or win, who knows. Lewis Hall is unavailable because of the loan agreement. So, you know, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 definitely out. 1, 2, 3, 4 doubtful, plus another... that's an entire team, pretty much. So they are really in the shit with injuries. So
the focus is likely to be the game in the week, isn't it, as well?
And, yeah, who have they got? PSG again?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've... I mean, I knew this would happen. Both them and Brighton, you know, can't cope. You see, this is the thing, right? People underestimate how well we did in Europe for years. And I mean, even teams like Arsenal to a degree. It's a different gravy having to play European competition every other week and still do well in the league. It sorts the men out from the boys, and neophytes like Newcastle and Brighton are finding out the hard way, I think. Clayton, another steward's inquiry?
No, I would question whether they are not a side that plays with a low block. I think that Howe is a clever manager, and he will know if he's not at full strength. The best way to play us is to sit deep. For all their sort of progress, they are one of the most cynical and unpleasant teams to play against.
Dirty bastards.
Dirty. And they're basically, I don't like playing against them. I think they're really, I don't like the way they play. They're in your face. And I think I don't think that it's going to be like playing Spurs and or playing Manchester City. I think they're, you know, they don't lose at home. They've got a very mean defence, even though they're losing quite a few personnel. I don't think that they're going to come at us. I think they're going to say, will you come at us?
I wonder how that will go down, though, Clayton, given the 50,000 screaming mad Geordies who want them to attack, like, you know, you're not.
I
don't think they'll notice, Chidge, if they just boot the ball up the pitch and run after it, which is what you do when you've got the low
And they've
blockers.
Got Gordon, who can exploit that very well.
Yeah, yeah.
you mentioned the crowd, but after the game, which they lost against Bournemouth, wasn't there a confrontation between Kieran Trippier and away fans because they were really hacked off with the way that they played? I don't know. I mean, maybe insofar as having the international break didn't do us any favours because we were like sort of on a real high after a mad 6 days. They just lost back-to-back games, and maybe it will do them good to regroup. And I hadn't realised, but I do think that the midweek game probably does work in our favour.
Yeah, no, I...
Because I think they'd much rather try and qualify.
Yeah.
I think they've got to get something in Paris, haven't they? Otherwise they're out. Or they're out of the Champions League anyway.
Definitely. I mean, they because they lost to Dortmund, the pressure's hugely on them to do Exactly that. I mean, there are other things as well that I think, I mean, I know these are weird things, but Poch has got a very good record against Newcastle. He's only lost one of his last five up there, and he's lost one of his, well, not up there, he's lost one of his last five against them, period, I think. And he's lost one of his last seven against Ernie Howe, or not really Ernie, is it? Or is it? Are we going to call him Eddie? Yeah. I just teasing you.
Joshing.
Yeah, I know. Ernie Wally and Ernie Howe, I think you're getting muddled up with. But anyway, he's only lost one of his last seven against Howe. Our record away to Newcastle is actually not so good, I would have thought. I often wonder whether that was because we always play them at the end of the season after we won everything and we can't be giving a shit. But we've lost six, drawn one, won three of our last ten up there. But if I whiz down and have a look, I mean, we went on a horrible spate, but that was 2013. That was February, November, December. So actually, we were losing up there not at the end of the season like I thought. I mean, we had that one in 2018 when we got dubbed 3-0, which was at the end of the season after the Lord Mayor's show. But yeah, so actually, it's not a massively happy hunting ground for us. But I mean, irrelevant to all of that, really, JK, is, you know, two questions, really. Can we match? I mean, you know, we were saying this after City, weren't we? Well, bloody hell, mate. If you lot can play like that, we want to see it every week. And we were saying, you know what? The chances are right now, we probably aren't. But can they match the intensity we saw against City? And can we be as clinical in front of goal as we have been in the last four matches? Although that's perhaps a contradiction in terms, given how many they missed against Spurs. But you get my drift. They've scored four goals in the last two games, which a month ago we would have laughed you out of sight if we said that Chelsea would do that.
I think defensively they were doing very well, weren't they, before? But the problem we have is just getting the ball in the net. And now that Sterling appears to have got his mojo back and Palmer is being allowed to express himself, I can see ways being created to create goals, to get past a block, to get past defences. I mean, I think you mustn't underestimate exactly what Clayton has said about the their desire to be combative, because they are, he studied under Simeone, didn't he, Howe, when he was had his year, a couple of years off, whatever it was, after Bournemouth. And we knew that Bournemouth frequently would...
I prefer Bortsmouth, actually.
Bortsmouth, yeah. Bortsmouth would shit house as much as they possibly could with... I mean, they seem to invent the whole process of one of their players going down for 10 minutes and all of them having a team talk and a break. I remember going berserk at Howe in that game. I think we lost 1-0. Was it that one where he just they just wasted so much time? I mean, the advantage of the new attitude this season is that they can waste as much time as they like, but at least the refs enjoy putting back 10 or 11 minutes if it's been ridiculous. That's one thing the refs have embraced, actually, in the Premier League, which I'm rather pleased about. I like that. So, but I wish they would give yellow cards for time wasting, but they don't. They just let them time waste, knowing they're going to add it on at the end. I suppose the idea is they just get fed up with it after a bit and realise they're not going to achieve anything. But at the moment, it just leads to annoyance when somebody takes a goalkeeper takes an eternity to kick the ball out and all the players want a booking for the goalie.
The game... They played, they won at Spurs. Did they win at Spurs? The game, they played at Spurs. And apparently it was the least amount of time that the ball had been in play in a Premier League game ever.
That's
their
right.
Time wasting was just ridiculous. Pope's really, really bad. Very cynical.
Yeah, very cynical indeed. So I think the fact that he's got so few players playing who are the top players won't prevent them from putting it about. I think it's going to be very confrontational. But I think the advantage of that is that Sterling will probably get a penalty because he'll rush into the penalty area, as he's been doing with great aplomb. As with Palmer as well, I think we'll get a penalty again just because Trippier is a nasty piece of work. And I think he's a very decent player, but he seems to embrace that attitude. Really, really in your face. They're all in your face. I mean, at least Dan Burn is the most in your face.
Yeah, delighted he's not playing.
Yeah, delighted. But he also, I saw that Havertz couldn't stop having a go at them because he didn't enjoy his previous Chelsea experiences there. He should have been sent off for that challenge, shouldn't he, Havertz?
Yeah.
When playing for Arsenal. But it's regardless of how many players they've had out, they'll compete. I mean, I agree with you completely, Clayton. I think he'll defend. I think he'll also try to not expend a huge amount of energy just because they've got the game during the week, and it'll rely hugely on the ball being pumped down the wing for Gordon to run after it.
Yeah, I think you could both be right there. I hadn't considered that. I mean, it's interesting actually, because I think the last two games we played, I mean, I know there are idiosyncrasies about both of them, but you know, and I know we hate XG completely and utterly on principle, but you know, our recent form, I think, suggests that those early indications that we were getting in the season that we were actually playing quite well but just not getting the results was right. I mean, we are third highest in the league on XG. Yes, I know it's all a load of arse gravy, but it's there. And I think that maybe that it is indicative. So we shall see. We're going to give you our predictions in a minute. But before we do that, JK, it's time for this, isn't it?
Is it, Chidge?
They played for both.
Oh, God. Yes, is how it gets embarrassing.
I'm so going to get you to do a sting for that, because I think it deserves one. Right.
They played for both.
Right.
They played for both.
Weirdly, last time we did this, there were 30 City players who had played for both Chelsea and City. This week, there are 30 players that have played for both Chelsea and Newcastle during their careers. In approximate alphabetical order, they are. Off you go, boys.
Gareth Hall, yeah. Tino Di Pramento.
You mean Lewis Hall?
Yeah, Lewis Hall.
And you said Livramento.
Two. Ron Jeremy.
Yes, I know who you mean.
Gavin Peacock.
Yep.
Well done.
David Besant.
Yep, he's played for everybody. He's in this every week.
Yeah.
You just holding back, JK?
No, I don't know any of them.
Oh dear. Okay. There's 30, obviously.
You've done six so far.
You should have given me fair warning. I could have. Did Damien Duff play for Newcastle?
Well, I thought he did, but he's not on the list. Steward's inquiry. I know that Nathan's in the house tonight. So can you confirm or deny? Because he's not on your list, mate. From their website. Oh no, he is. I'm so stupid. I mean, yes, he definitely did. Yeah, 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 yeah.
He definitely did.
I don't. Steve Clark did. I know he managed or was in the management team. No. Did he play for them?
Uh-uh.
Come on, JK.
He's struggling, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's clue time. Many players from recent times.
Okay, I reckon there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 that you should get.
The answer is yes.
Is did David Speedy play for Newcastle?
Nope.
From that neck of the woods, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh God, this is awful.
He played for Hartlepool, didn't? No, he didn't. No.
Joe
Allen.
Oh, no? JK's cheating. I can see that he's cheating.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I've just thought of Joe Allen.
You're looking at a screen. Don't lie.
No, I'm not. I haven't looked. I'm looking at Newcastle players, honestly.
Okay.
Joe Allen did play for them. Yeah, that just came because he was from Hartlepool, so I thought that might be the case. Played for them. I haven't, Chidge. That's all. Honestly, I did not look at a screen.
I believe you, JK. I believe Plus, you.
I did not. I'm so devoid of knowledge here. I'm just putting two and two together.
I think you've not done bad. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's about average for when we played us. Are you drying up? Do you want some help?
Just give us. It's boring radio time, isn't it? This
so just a bit. That's why I'm chivying you along
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Chivy us more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Name some years of players.
Well, as I said, I think they're okay in recent memory, as in Premier League era. I can see one, two.
Did a Chiloba play?
No, nope.
No, he didn't go there.
Anyway, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. There are nine from the Premier League era that you haven't got.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, Baba Yaro.
Baba Yaro, well done.
It's all us to them at the moment. How many of them did we buy, or did they come from? I mean, Peacock, I know, came that way.
Well, there are a few more in there. And some of them are recent.
What about Mal Donaghy?
Nope. Right, I'm going to give you 30 seconds.
No, I'm
Granville.
Off.
Who?
Danny Granville.
No. You're going to kick yourself when you hear some of these in a minute.
Ridiculous.
10, 9, Dude, 8, like 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're out. All right. So you got Joe Allen, Baba Yaro, Damien Duff, Jeremy Peacock, Lewis Hall.
We didn't get Jeremy. Didn't
no,
get Jeremy.
No, he did. He said Ron Jeremy. I knew what he meant.
John Jeremy. Sorry. Yeah.
Liveramento. Right. And I said Besson, didn't I? Who you didn't get was Roy Bentley. Okay, and of course, you know, as we know, there are
Gallagher,
Huey Gallagher. Yeah, there are loads in here that are like old, and Ted and Nathan very kindly messages me and lets me know a bit about the ones we wouldn't have heard of. One of whom is Ted Burney, who made 107 appearances with three goals in 1906 to 1909. Laurent Charvet, anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Angus Douglas, 103 appearances, 10 goals, 1908 to 1912. Died in 1918, age 29, of Spanish flu. Kind of.
Did Tommy Baldwin ever play for Newcastle?
No. Then we have Huey Gallagher, who you did mention, who, of course, everybody should know. He was a superstar when he came to us. In fact, he's so famous that Nathan's not even bothered to put him on his list. So there you go. Mick Harford.
Okay.
Tommy Knox. Yeah, me neither. J.K.
Oh, yeah. 1963, Tommy Knox.
Yeah, 62 Winger. To 65, played 21 appearances.
Yeah.
Well done, J.K. Alexander McFarlane, four appearances. Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Four appearances between 1913 and 14. You know, you should know this one, J.K. Tommy Robson.
Oh, for goodness sake! Yeah, Pop, known as Pop.
No, not that one.
No, sorry.
I'm he did bothered. Though, didn't he? Pop Robson played for both of us. Yeah,
Pop Robson did, but Tommy Robson played for Peterborough.
All right, yeah, I didn't know
Different
that.
One.
Seven
Different
appearances, one. Seven appearances in 65, 66.
Yeah.
Pop Robson, also known as Pop Robson, also known as Brian Robson. Of course, he did play for us.
That's right. Scotty Parker.
Well done. Well done, Clayton. He's on the list. John McNichol.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dave Mitchell.
Oh, God. Bloody hell. Don't remind us.
Oh, yes. Sam Weaver.
I don't know.
Sam Weaver played for us between 1936 and 1939, scored four goals in 125 appearances. I cannot believe you didn't get this. Okay, the clue would have been he likes strawberry syrup. He comes from Africa.
Oh, Denver Bar.
Exactly. He likes to play.
Of
what can he play?
Of course.
He plays football.
Of course.
Denver Bar, Denver Bar, Denver Bar.
Who else? He only went there on loan. Kennedy.
Yeah. Kennedy, definitely. Patrick Van Aanholt.
Yeah.
Loic Remy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Kyle Scott.
Who?
I would imagine some sort of a reserve. Nathan will tell us. John Archibald. He was a reserve goalkeeper who made 10 appearances between 1920 and 1921. Christian Atsu, anybody?
Oh, he's playing, right, playing for Forest now, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, no, he's not.
Christian Atsu was the one that died in the
Died in Turkey, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. He was, isn't he? And last but by no means least, Ollie Harrison. So there you go. Very tough as always. So there you go. Oh, I do like a little bit of fun. Right, have we got that out of the way? It's time for your predictiones. Clayton, what are you going to go for tomorrow?
2-2.
2-2. Okay, interesting. JK?
3-1 to the Blue Boys.
3-1 to the Blue Boys?
Yes.
How simply fabulous.
Yes, I think I may be a little bit over the top with it, but given their injuries, given that Sterling may be on fire, given that defensively we're doing okay, I think it's going to be feisty, but I reckon we could do them.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I was going to be very positive and go for a win for the Blue Boys, but then I've heard what you both had to say about Newcastle shithousing their way to, and of course, you know, being mindful of their midweek game with about 8 players out. So I've got a feeling it's going to be a 1-1. That's me prediction for tomorrow. I mean, obviously, I hope we win.
I think you're maybe right, actually, and I'm really being positive for the sake of it. I want them to win 3-1.
Well,
but I think it's looking like a draw. Again.
Yeah. Who's ninth in the Chelsea Fancast Premier League predictions table, and who's 117th?
Is that a trick question?
If you like.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah, not the one in ninth.
No,
that would be me.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, obviously, I hope they win. You know, it would be brilliant if we could win again and really keep, as they were saying in the presser, keep that momentum going. But I think it's going to be a tough match tomorrow because they're bastards. Geordie bastards. It's going to be tough. And there you go. Anyway, I forgot to say this at the beginning, so I shall say this now. As ever, don't forget you can listen to the show live.
Live.
Every Monday and Friday at around 7:30 p.m. by going to Mixlr, which is chelsea-fancast.mixlr.com, where you can join in the chat by posting on the live chat page, as many of you do. And Nathan, for example, has been helping us out. Diana said something really funny earlier on. I must go and find this again. There's so many. Here we go. JK, Ernie was the one who drove the fastest milk cart in the West. So now we
not Ernie. He wasn't Ernie Howe, though, was he?
It might have been. Who knows? Maybe in another life. Right. So yeah, it's great fun in Mixlr. As I say every week, but it really, really is. Now you can follow us on all the socials at Chelsea Fancast and listen and subscribe on Acast, Spotify, Apple, and all good podcast platforms. And of course, make sure you leave us a glowing 5-star review. And talking of Mixlr, we have this other thing called Discord, which is brilliant. It's basically like, you know, Twitter/social media, but just us lot, you lot and us lot who love the Chelsea Fancast. So therefore, everybody in there's really lovely and it's much more respectful. There's none of the arse gravy you get on Twitter. You know, I mean, you know, we have a few tiffs now and again, as you would expect, but everybody kind of settles it amicably. There's no kind of like duels at dawn or anything like that. Now, how do you access Discord? Well, if you join our Patreon group, which unfortunately for you means you have to bung a few quid each month towards it, then you will automatically become a Discord group member, and also you will be entitled to a Kerry Dixon mini banner. And talking of which, there's about 30 I need to send out. So my plan is this weekend, as there's no football for me to go to, I will be putting banners in envelopes and then go to the post office on Monday. So you, all those who have requested one recently should be getting them hopefully next week or a little bit after if they're abroad, which a few of them are, of course. So anyway, Patreon, you can sign up at patreon.com/ChelseaFancast. It is that simple. So there you go. I must admit, I've really, in spite of the fact that I'm still pretty much at death's door, I've really enjoyed tonight, but I'm afraid that's all we got time for. So we'll be back on Monday for the main Chelsea Fancast show with me and JK and the absolute legend that is Marco Worrell. I cannot wait to see Marco. I mean, I see him every home game, obviously, but it's lovely to see him on the show. And of course, we'll be looking back at the match against Newcastle, and hopefully we will be in joyous form. Quick shout out. We did two In Off The Post shows over the international break. So if you want your email, I mean, predominantly email, but you can send us a message on Patreon, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And we will read them out on the next edition of In Off The Post. The email address, of course, is chelseafancast@gmail.com. Of course, our own Twitter handles are me at Stanford Chiz, Jonathan at Jonathan Kidd, and Clayton at Goalie59. Clayton, as always, a delight and a pleasure to see you, my friend. And I hope you will wave to me the next time we are at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah,
it's not that I'm taking it personally or anything, you know.
Yes, of course. So, well, no, I really enjoyed it. It's been great.
Yeah, it's always lovely. Yeah, you too, mate. Lovely to see you. JK, we've done three shows in the last week and we're still alive. I think that is an achievement.
Whoop, whoop. By the way, Ernie Howe used to play for Queen's Park Rangers and Fulham.
He did, didn't he? Bloody
that's
good.
That's why I'm saying Ernie Howe.
Yeah, there we go.
Stuck in the brain, you see.
Yeah. Your memory's playing tricks on you. I love it.
It is.
As always, mate, lovely to see you. I hope we all find a dodgy stream tomorrow. Otherwise, we're going to be a bit stuffed on Monday, aren't we, talking about the game? But there we go. Such is life. You lot in Mixlr, well done. You've been brilliant as always. Lovely to see you too. Everybody else who's listening to the podcast, thank you for listening. See you next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea. Chelsea! It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.